Morning, brothers and sisters, and a pleasant good morning to those who are joining us, perhaps for the first time. We are absolutely honored to have you being a part of our worship service, and this be the first Sunday of the new year. We're very, very thankful that God has spirit of life to see another year, and we're very thankful that we're still able to worship, though not in the most ideal of nevertheless, we're thankful that we're able to worship and encourage each other as we have been doing for the last several months. No doubt, it has been a year that will never be forgotten, at least for a very long time. That is the year 2020. You know, it was back in 1941, December 7th, 1941, when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. And the then President Roosevelt, Franklin D. Roosevelt, in addressing Congress in response to the bombing, said in reference to that date when Pearl Harbor was bombed, it says that it will be a day that will live on in infamy. And I want to borrow that just briefly to say that in reference to the year 2020 that just ended, it will be a year that will live on in infamy. The year 2020 already has secured its special place in history. But it would be remiss of me to begin my sermon and this new year without looking back and asking myself the question, are there lessons that we can learn from the year 2020? And I think there are many lessons that you will agree with, many lessons. But I think I'll focus on three of them this morning, three lessons of 2020. You know, Paul had just been in a city called Derby. He had just preached the gospel there. Berea. And, you know, there were good responses and there were bad responses. There were people who were out to get him. And Paul's companion sent him on to Athens. And Paul was in Athens waiting for Silas and Timothy. But while he was in Athens, the Bible says that he looked around and he was very disturbed by what he saw. Because he saw a city that was steeped heavily in idolatry. He saw a city that was filled with pride and arrogance. He saw a city that was involved in many things, including idolatry, but the problem is that they did not know the one true God. And that led Paul to present what is now known as his Sermon on Mars Hill. And Paul went on to explain to them, who is this unknown God, this God that they did not know? And it is a sermon that is filled with so much information that time would not allow me to go through everything. But I want to focus on three things that we can draw out of Paul's sermon that I believe are lessons that can be applied to our lives, lessons that we would have learned from 2020 and that we should embrace close to our hearts as we have begun 2021. First of all, if you go back to your Bibles in Acts chapter 17, you will see that one of the lessons that Paul wanted these people in Athens to learn is that we are all God's creation. We are all God's creation. If you look at verse 26, he says, "And he, God, has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth." Now, many of these people in Athens, remember Athens was the bedrock of philosophy. That's where men like Socrates and Aristotle came from. They had great philosophers there. And these men prided themselves in education. They prided themselves in intellectualism. And no doubt, they thought that they were descendants of pedigree ancestors. that separated them from the common citizens. And so it must have been offensive to them when Paul said to them and everybody that God has made from one blood every nation. In other words, what Paul was saying is that we are all coming from the same ancestor. As a matter of fact, Paul went on to say in verse 29 of Acts chapter 17, that we are the offspring of God. In Malachi chapter 2 and verse 10, God asks the question, have we not all one father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another by profaning the covenant of our father? So God is saying, listen, you're all from me. You're all created by me. Now, these people of Athens, these philosophers and great men of education must have seen that as quite offensive because they thought that they were better than everybody else. Except that Paul says that all humans are from the same ancestor. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible says that Eve, Adam called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. In other words, every single human family are descendants of Adam and Eve. This means that no one nation, no one individual can claim to have any preeminence above any other by virtue of their race or their ancestry. Nobody can, because we are all descendants of the same person or persons, Adam and Eve. Yet, 2020 brought to the fore the ugliness of racism. Yes, there was COVID-19, but let us not forget that in the first half of the year, we saw the ugliness of racism through the deaths of George Floyd. Then there was Breonna Taylor. There was Rayshard Martin, Brooks, and the list goes on and on. And before that, we can think of people like Laquan McDonald, Sandra Bland, and the list goes on and on. For decades and for centuries, our world has been rocked by racism. It is important, brethren and friends, that we must not forget how ugly racism is. You know, back in 1976, the great reggae artist Bob Marley wrote a song in response to what was happening on the African continent, especially in Mozambique, in Angola, in Zimbabwe, in South Africa, with apartheid system. And in response to what was happening, he wrote this song. And the song says, until the philosophy, it's right there on your screen, until the philosophy which holds one race superior and another inferior is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned, there'll be war. Until there's no longer first class and second class citizens of any nation, until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance than the color of his eyes, there'll be war. Until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race, there'll be war. These words were said and sung way back in 1976. That's almost 40 years ago. They're just as relevant today as they were then. Because until the ugliness of racism is eradicated, we will always have political and social unrest in different parts of our world. And last year, we saw the largest protest ever to have taken place, not just in this country, but across the entire world. I want to say this, my friend. Until the church also is willing, the Church of Christ is willing to embrace and include all people of races, regardless of their race, include everyone. Once they have obeyed the gospel, the church must embrace every single one. Until that is done, the church will never have the impact on society that God intended for it to have. As I've said before, we do not regard ourselves as a black congregation. We regard ourselves as the Church of Christ, open to anyone who's willing to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we ourselves must not do anything to create a further divide, racial divide. As Christians, our responsibility is to keep on doing what we can to heal racial division, not just in this country, but whichever country racism exists. Because, you see, my friend, life is too short. Life is too short for us to harbor racism and hatred and prejudice. It's too short for that. And therefore, we are going to have to reorient our thinking to see others as God sees them. So if there's a lesson that we can draw from 2020, it is that we are all, excluding no one, God's creation. Very important. But secondly, a lesson that we can learn from last year is that we all have a divine purpose. We all have a divine purpose. You see, the people of Athens that Paul was standing and observing, the people of Athens obviously did not understand their true divine purpose. Some of them in Athens thought that their purpose in life was to pursue philosophy. In verse 21 of Acts chapter 17, the Bible says, "For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new. They were just caught up in human reasoning." All right? There were others in Athens who thought that their purpose was to be involved in idol worshiping. In verse 16 of Acts chapter 17, the Bible says, "And now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols." So obviously, the people of Athens did not understand their true purpose in life. Many of us last year, no doubt, questioned our own purpose in life as we looked on and see so many others who are suffering from this virus. We looked on helplessly. There was not much that many of us could have done except just look on. And we began to question, what is my purpose in life if I can't help my fellow human being or my loved one who's suffering and who's dying, and many of them have died? But, you know, we soon learned last year that there are many things in life that we cannot do. Many things that we would like to do, but we can't do. But while we do not know why certain things happen in life, we do know that nothing happens without the knowledge of the Almighty God. Nothing is hidden from His sight. And so in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3, it says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and on the good." In other words, God sees what is happening. And therefore, our responsibility is to trust Him. Our responsibility is to have faith in Him. We must resolve in your heart this year, that regardless of what you go through, because God knows best and because He takes care of His own, you will always trust Him. That's a resolve. That's a resolution that you and I need to make. You know, Job said in Job chapter 13 and verse 15, Job said, "Though he slay me, yet I will trust him." Put it another way, regardless of what I go through, Job said, "I will never ever stop trusting my God because He knows best." So we have learned from 2020 that while we can't do things, certain things in this life, what we can do and what we should do is to trust our Almighty God because He knows best. And so our purpose then is not a mystery. It is not a mystery as to what our purpose is. Our purpose is clearly stated in the scriptures. Let's go back to the passage that Brother Arthur Davis read for us. In Acts chapter 17 and verses 26 and 27, listen what Paul told the men of Athens. He said, "And he, God, has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings." Now, why has he made from one blood every nation? Verse 27, so that they should seek the Lord. What is our purpose? Our purpose is to seek the Lord. Our purpose is to worship him. Our purpose is to obey the Almighty God. That is not mystifying. That is clearly stated over and over and over again in the scriptures. Well, how can we forget what Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us." In other words, yes, material things are important, but they are important only to a point. What is most important to man is that he seeks God first and his righteousness, and everything else is secondary. Solomon tried everything. He tried human wisdom. He tried material things. He tried earthly pleasure. And he came to only one conclusion. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, he says, "You know what? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Our job, our prerogative, is to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." So therefore, from 2020, we can learn that our purpose is that regardless of what we're going through, our purpose is to fear God, is to seek God, is to trust him, because God knows best, and we should leave the rest up to him. That is our purpose in life. And I'm saying that as you and I go through the year 2021, let us not forget what our purpose is. It is our number one purpose in life, and that is to worship and serve the Almighty God. And sadly, like last year and the years before, many of us are going to be caught up in things that are unimportant, thinking that our purpose is to become rich, our purpose is to become popular, our purpose is to have many friends, and all these things, not realizing that our purpose in life really is to serve God and to keep his commandments. Thirdly, as we reflect on that infamous year of 2020, we learn that we must embrace divine knowledge and wisdom. We must embrace divine knowledge and wisdom. Now, what am I getting at? Well, please stay with me. When Paul was in Athens, the city of Athens, this city had a lot of Greek philosophers. I talked about men like Aristotle and Socrates. That's where these men were from. But the Bible talks about in verse 18 that in verse 18 of Acts 17, then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, these were different groups of philosophers that were found in Athens. When they encountered Paul, some of them said, "What does this babbler want to see?" Others said he seemed to be a proclaimer of some foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. You could sense pride and arrogance coming from these so-called educated men. These men who thought that they knew it all. My friend, when you think you know it all, you will not be quick to listen to what anyone else has to say. Mr. Know-it-all inevitably will dismiss any other source of information because he thinks he knows it all. And, you know, if you look at verse 32 of Acts 17, the Bible says that after Paul preached to them, in verse 32, "And when they heard these things about the resurrection of the dead, some mocked him," mocked Paul, "while others say, 'We will hear you some other time.'" In other words, who is Paul to be telling them things that they themselves are the source of information? These men thought that they were so educated, they were so well informed, that nobody could tell them anything. And so they mocked Paul. Do you remember last year, the early part of last year, when the health experts came out and they said, you know, we have this virus, COVID-19. And it therefore means that our normal course of life will be changed and be changed radically. Do you recall that there were many people who scoffed at the idea, who ridiculed them? Do you recall that there were many who even were offended by the thought of quarantining and that kind of stuff? Do you recall? And do you recall, my friend, someone like a Dr. Drew, this celebrity TV doctor, who mocked the very idea of COVID-19. He said that it is nothing more than the common flu. As a matter of fact, he went on to say that this COVID-19 is a media-induced virus. Doesn't really exist. This is a doctor speaking. There were politicians who mocked it. There were even religious leaders that mocked the very idea that COVID-19 exists. Now, 350,000 lives that have been lost later. Sadly, there are still deniers in this country and around the world. Dr. Drew, who mocked the idea earlier on last year, contracted the virus a few weeks ago. And he came out and he apologized for what he had done. What I'm saying, brethren, is that when you think you know it all, you're setting yourself up for a fall. I want to run that by you again. When you're so puffed up with pride and you think you know it all, you have nowhere to step but off that pinnacle. And I'm saying, my friend, it does take humility to admit when you're wrong, and he admitted that he was wrong.
Yes.
But I want to encourage all of us, don't act as if you know it all. Always begin from a position of humility, because the Bible says that the man who humbles himself shall be exalted. That's what it says. You know, if we go back to verse 30 of Acts chapter 17, the times in which Paul lived, look at how Paul described it. Paul says in verse 30, truly these times of what? Of ignorance. So even in Paul's times, there was a high level of ignorance that existed. Now fast forward to the year 2021, and I will tell you that, yes, these are truly times of ignorance. And sadly, sometimes many Christians are caught up in this level of ignorance. Truly, these times are times of ignorance. Oh, as we enter this new year, 2021, let us do so prayerfully, resolving that we're going to ask God to bless us with humility, with wisdom, and with knowledge. Remember, we begin from a position of humility, and then God will exalt us. But the man who exalts himself, the Bible says, will be abased. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. Thankfully, that while there are many out there who scoffed at the idea of the existence of this virus, while there were many who laughed at it, there were many others who believed it and who have been practicing the guidelines given by the health experts. When Paul preached in Athens, the Bible says that there were those who mocked Paul because of what he was saying. This whole thing about the resurrection is hogwash, not real. And many of them mocked him. But I'm thankful to God that there is always a remnant, a group that is willing to confess and to admit and to accept the truth as it is. So in verse 32, the Bible says, some mocked him, But look at verse 34. However, some men joined Paul and believed him. Among them were Dionysius and the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them. There's always a remnant. As we enter 2021, are you prepared to be blessed with wisdom? Or are you one of those who will be so puffed up with pride that nobody can tell you anything? That you know it all, so therefore, before one opens his mouth, you say, don't say anything, I know it all. When a man is on a pinnacle, he has nowhere to step but off. Brothers and sisters, God exalts the humble Christian. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, you can only become a Christian if you are humble enough to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That you have sinned. That you have sinned, and in your state of sinfulness, you need the divine Savior, Jesus Christ. But if you think that you are okay, that you're so arrogant and you're so puffed up with pride, then you will never ever be saved, because Jesus Christ says, I came to call those who are sick, not those who are well, because those who are sick have no need of the physician. And therefore, we want to encourage you, my friend. We want to encourage you to make sure that this year, before time changes into eternity, that you submit and surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Because you and I have learned, if anything, that life is fragile, the life is very unpredictable. As a member of the body of Christ, may I challenge you that from here on you will go through the year promoting racial harmony, not racial division. That you will go through the year, my friend, this year, embracing your purpose, which is always to put God first in your life. And that you'll go through this year always seeking God's knowledge, divine knowledge, not human knowledge, but divine knowledge. Because then divine knowledge humbles us. And the more we learn from God's word, is the more we know how much we don't know. But may this be your resolution for the year 2021. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, you can become a Christian today, having heard this message, repenting of your sins, as you see on the screen, Luke 13, verse 3, confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, and being baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what it says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Then you must remain faithful until you die. Because it is then, Revelation 2 and verse 10, that you will receive a crown of life. But the ball is in your court. Let us go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you brought us safely through last year. With all the people who have lost their lives, Father, we look back and we recognize that you sustain us, because in you we live and move and have our being. Help us not to take things for granted, but to use every energy we have in our bodies to serve you, to promote unity, to go after what the scriptures teach, to be humble enough, Father, to admit that we don't know enough, and that we need to be informed by you through the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray for that man or that woman that is listening right now, who is not a member of the body of Christ. Father, we have seen how one's life can be taken away in a jiffy. I pray for that man or that woman, that their life, Father, will be surrendered to you. For Father, unless you guide us, unless your word becomes a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Father, we will always be walking in darkness. So I pray for that person, dear God, before time changes into eternity. And for every single member of the church that is listening right now, may we become stronger and more determined, Father, to put you first every time, 24/7 in our lives. Father, it's in the Son's name that I pray.